Well, she's one of our favourite MasterChef contestants and, well, wait a minute, winners. And so it's great to check in with Kate Brax. How are you, Kate?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, we are good. 2011. It's been 4 years since you won MasterChef.
Yeah, I know. Time flies, doesn't it? When you're having fun, that's what they say.
Well, have you been having fun? I understand you've actually set up your own baking business in Orange.
I have. I've got a little small business that I run from a commercial kitchen in my home, which I'm very privileged to have. And I supply cafes and anybody who wants a cake, and then they can just pick them up from a little location in town. So, yeah, it's lots of fun.
Oh, wow. So that commercial kitchen you have, obviously that was installed after MasterChef.
It was. Look, we moved to a farmhouse and the whole farmhouse kitchen needed replacing.
Oh.
So we thought, you know what? Why don't we do it in a way that I can make it work for this business as well? So, yeah, it's been fantastic.
So
real privilege.
What does that mean? Like super oven or like several ovens and a blast freezer? Like,
oh, look, I don't have the blast chiller, but I do have a big combi oven. It's like about a cubic meter.
Oh.
And, you know, it's also all about just meeting those New South Wales standards for health.
Oh.
So, like, the right sort of surfaces and hand washing facilities and all those kinds of things. All the boring stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, the oven's exciting.
Yeah, don't you have to have something like the hand washing things, but also the towelettes near the hand washing things?
That's right. There's all those little things you got to tick the box for. Well, anyway, that's done and dusted now. I just get to enjoy it.
Oh, well, I've looked at some of your cakes and I'm thinking of making a trek to Orange because I understand you actually sell them at the local markets there as well.
I do. We have a monthly regional farmers market. So I have a stall there that I sell them. That's just a great way of staying in contact with my customers and seeing what's popular. And, you know, just being a part of the community is something that I love, so it's a great way of doing that.
And what cake of yours is the sellout, would you say?
Look, probably the most popular is a lemon meringue dessert cake. Oh. So it's a lemon syrup cake that's injected with lemon curd and then topped with a burnished meringue. That's the one that most people talk about all the time.
Sounds really good. I love a citrus cake too, so I might have to make that trek after all.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things that we so greatly admire about you is that, you know, you've actually used your MasterChef renown to actually share your faith. And, you know, I talk to people like, oh, yeah, Kate Brax came to our school for this bake-off thing, or you've spoken at people's churches. Are you still doing that kind of thing?
Yes, I do. Look, to me, my faith is just integral to every part of my life. So it all just melds in together. I think it's in the way, it comes out in the way that we relate to people, and it comes out in business. It comes out in when we go to church. It comes out just in friendships. So for me, it's an important part of what I do. Because I have this opportunity, I get invited to churches and schools and all sorts of places where I cook and do demonstrations, but people also want to hear about my faith. And it's amazing how the two meld together. You know, man cannot live on bread alone.
While you're making the bread.
While you're making the bread, you can talk about the other bits. And look, it's just something that I love to do. I am... you know, it's just such a big part of my life, I suppose, having a faith in God and to be able to just share what that means for me to other people in a no-pressure situation where people can just sit and listen, and then I'm happy to chat about it. And often people come up afterwards and ask more, or, you know, join in classes and groups that can teach them more. So, yeah, it's just a wonderful add-on, I suppose, to the other things that I am able to do as a Christian just in my normal everyday life.
Oh, that's brilliant. Well, I've actually heard you say before that MasterChef was kind of one of the toughest experiences, but also one of the most rewarding.
Yes.
When I watch MasterChef, I have a level of sympathy when the pressure's on and all that kind of thing. I imagine you would have empathy. Do you kind of have post-traumatic, like, flashbacks when you watch it?
Do you know, it's really interesting. When I watch almost any TV now, I see what happens outside the boundaries of that screen.
Mm.
So I'm not just seeing, I suppose, what your average viewer sees. And yes, in a certain way, I do. I relive the whole experience. I look at these people and I think, oh, I know how that feels. And you probably feel like you're about to vomit right now because you're so nervous. And, you know,
I've met you, a garnish.
Yeah, look, definitely huge amount of empathy watching them go through it. But also it brings back such wonderful memories. You know, there were so many highs in my experience there too that, you know, when I see them do well or do something amazing or meet some inspiring chef, yeah, it sort of brings it all back to me too. And I'm really pleased for them that they get this opportunity, because it is one of those once-in-a-life opportunities that a lot of people don't get.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I wonder if you can give us a bit of an insider scoop here. Because when you watch the show, obviously it's cut together and all that kind of thing, and what you actually see often is they've cooked and then they get judged, but wait a minute, all their benches are suddenly clean. Who does the cleaning? Is it you as the contestants, or are there like a few Oompa Loompas around that kind of...
Yeah, there's some Oompa Loompas. It was a real shock to me when I came home and I actually had to clean up after myself. Yeah, look, there's a whole team that come in and clear benches. Towards the end in my series, we sort of assisted a bit because, we could. It was a bit easier. So, and then you come back and it's all a nice clean bench and you play the food just sitting there. So it's actually, wish I had some of them at home.
Oh, well, you couldn't convince you. You got three kids. I mean, pocket money.
Oh, look, I try, but come on.
Do you know, in our immediate family, ever since MasterChef's been on the TV, we've been judging each other's dishes. It's kind of cruel in a way, but like, I give you a 7. Do you do that in your home, or do...
Do you know, when I first came home, there was a lot of that going on, firstly with the kids, but then even people that would come over for dinner. And I got to a point where, all right, no more scoring. I've done my scoring, that's it. I don't want to be scored ever again.
And look,
there's obviously a lot of fun in that. But at the end of the day, any food that we make, it doesn't have to be a perfect dish. It's about nourishing us and having flavours that we like. And, you know, we certainly don't eat restaurant quality food every night of the week.
Yeah.
I say that from people come over.
Yeah. That's right. You got to set up that benchmark.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, when I first came home from MasterChef, there were a couple of times when, you know, people were coming around and I was cooking, and I was pretty flat out busy as well. Mm. But I'd sort of feel a bit of that pressure. And so there were a couple of times my husband said, well, you know what? How about I cook? And then all expectation will be gone. So he was very lovely in that way.
And you do see your friend's disappointment on their face. They're like, oh, that's...
You know, it's how you can tell your true friends, isn't it?
That's right. That's very true. Hey, Kate, I wonder if you can give us some cooking tips. Well, actually me. So I'm always more the savory kind of person. I like to explore that. And I'm pretty safe there because you can always add a little bit more red wine. You can always add a little bit of that. And you can't go too wrong. As we're with desserts, obviously it's more sciencey and it's all about balancing and all of that. I'm trying the whole short crust pastry out at the moment, and I've tried a few, and I just don't know what I'm meant to be looking for in a short crust pastry. Is it meant to crumble, or is it meant to stay firm?
So there are so many different types of pastry, and you have probably picked the most technical thing to start with if you're not much of a dessert cook.
Excellent.
So pastry, obviously, its basic foundation is butter, flour, sugar, depending on whether it's sweet or not. And that's really all it is. But within your flours, you've got different levels of protein and you've got different starches and things, and so that can make it more elastic or less and more crumbly, and the amount of butter makes it more. So it's one of those things that is a little bit more complicated than other things. But look, for me, with a short crust pastry, I'm looking for something that holds together, that holds that filling, that's not going to crumble completely as soon as I pick it up. But at the same time, it's not tough. It's not too crunchy. So you're looking for sort of that middle line. I did warn you it was going to be a little bit tricky. It's a tricky way to start. But do you know what? There is so much in the dessert world that is really simple and straightforward that you can mess around with recipes with. You don't have to stick rigidly to them. And there is a wonderful world of flavour and texture and balance in the dessert world, and it's not as tricky as you think. Pastry is kind of probably the one exception.
Yeah. I mean, I've recently made my first lemon meringue pie, and the curd was fine and the meringue was fine. The pastry actually, in all fairness, was okay. It's just that, I don't know, when you watch the cooking shows, they're like, oh, you're like, everyone fears the short crust pastry and the rules of it must be cold butter and it has to be ice chilled water and do you add the egg or not add the egg?
It is technical, and I think that's why it seems to be something that people who love to cook want to do and want to play around with, because it just sort of pushes those boundaries a bit more. Temperature's important, texture's important. The amount that you work the dough is really important, because if you work it too much, it gets too stretchy and hard, and then it's just, you know, more like a biscuit than a pastry. So, yeah, it is definitely one of those things that if you're happy to play around in the kitchen for a day, you can actually experiment yourself and, you know, do a couple of different pastries. One, knead it lots, and the other one, just knead it until it comes together, bake them off, and you'll see the difference. So I think the reason that it appeals is that there is a lot of food science involved in that, so it's fun to sort of experiment if you're that way inclined.
All right.
A bit like me, I'm a bit of a food nerd, you know, read cookbooks as I go to bed.
Oh, nice.
Like to just play around and experiment in the kitchen, don't really care if it doesn't work.
I think that is, because like, I would say I'm a confident cook, but particularly more with savoury, and that's probably what I like, because I like to experiment, I like to, and I think people who have a lot of fear when cooking, that's why they don't cook so well, because they're just scared.
Well, you know, the other thing that I tell people in a lot of my cooking demos is that cooking is actually a skill. We often think either I'm a good cook or a bad cook. But the reality is that can actually change, because it's just something that you practice over and over and you learn from and you can get better at. You know, when I went into MasterChef, I think I was just your pretty average home cook that was pretty reliant on recipes. And I came out the other end somebody who was so much more confident, willing to play around, but largely understanding how a lot of food works, the science of it, because I was reading and hearing it all the time, immersed in that world. And I just, it's convinced me that it is a skill. So it's one of those things that you can actually learn and grow in if you're interested and you put the time in. And I think the reason that most people are more confident with savoury than sweet is because we eat savoury every day. True. You know, we've got to put dinner on the table at night. And so we cook it over and over and over. And some dinners, they're not going to be as great as others. But what you do is you learn from your mistakes and you see those things that work well, and so you repeat those. And the things that don't do well, you think, okay, well, how could I change that to make that better? And that is the foundation of any sort of skill, is looking at it, trying it, it not working, how do I make that better? And I think cooking's just another example of that.
Very well said. And I'm sure there's people probably going, all right, I'll get in the kitchen. I'm going to make every type of short crust pastry I can.
Exactly. And just have fun with it. You know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's one of those things that we can just have fun with, take the pressure off. You know, if it doesn't work, doesn't matter. Most of the time it's still edible, you know.
Most of the time.
Apart from the time you burn it, smithereens, but other than that.
Kate, how do you see, like, you know, obviously there's so much creation when it comes to cooking. Does that kind of align with your faith, would you say?
I love the creative process in cooking. I think that's the thing that drives me. I really find mundane cooking of the same things over and over fairly tedious. What I love is being able to create new recipes and create new dishes. And I think there is definitely a correlation with our creator God. You know, he is a creator. He's the one that makes things. And I think, you know, we are made in his image. And, you know, I used to think that cooking was one of those sort of superfluous things. You know, at the end of the day, really, what does it achieve? It feeds you and that's it. You know, does it really change the world? But I guess what I've learned is that God gives us all in different ways, and he gives us passions in different areas, and he can use those in so many different ways. And he makes us to be like him in his image, and he is a creator. So the creative arts are just as valuable as, you know, social enterprises or, you know, business or anything else. They all can serve the betterment of our society.